This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey. Hi. Yeah. Hello, everyone. And welcome to ENN.
On TeeWee.
It's brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. Start off by saying good evening to Michael.
It's pretty people.
And good evening to Don.
Is Mike Thibodeau the right coach for this team right now?
Ooh. And to Greeny.
Sensitive when it comes to odors.
And to Greeny once again.
I don't care for chips.
Yeah, not a chip guy. We learned that about Greeny today.
Do you know?
This guy is America.
Peter, Stacy Greenberg, his wife.
Yeah, she's a great guy.
Took a picture of him on the air with us.
I saw that.
And he wouldn't even hold his phone. He used the speaker.
Oh, you took that as also being part of his not wanting to touch anything?
Yeah, he's not a toucher.
Well, I feel bad for his wife.
Hey-o!
Wow.
How do you feel about Greeny just sitting at a table and talking to us on speakerphone during a phoner?
Because we won't let callers do it.
But the thing is, he's sitting right next to it. Like, he understands, you know.
Anthony said he checked with him first. Total pro.
Yeah, come on. That's Greeny, okay? He might be a complete deranged maniac when it comes to eating, but he's a professional when it comes to broadcasting.
If I walked into a pizza store in New York
and
saw him eating a slice of pizza with a knife and fork, I'd pick it up. I wouldn't even say a word. Throw it right in the garbage.
Jam it up! I flush it.
Can't enjoy pizza like that.
You can sniff my socks.
It is interesting, right? Like, you give me a knife and fork for some Chicago.
Oh, no problem. You got it.
I mean, by the way, though, I will tell you guys, I'm an animal. I'll go to Pequod's. I'll go to any of the Chicago classics, and I will pick up. I will pick it up.
Once it gets a little cooler, when it just comes out of the oven,
it's too hot. Yeah, no. But if it
solidifies, then, definitely with the hands. Of course, Peter, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm fine to do that, and it's delicious. But I'm with you. Like, cutting a thin – it's actually – can I tell you the truth? This is one of the reasons I argue with New Yorkers about pizza, and I'm not going to get into a whole thing. But why I don't always love the traditional New York pizza is because I don't – sometimes it's too thin. And, in fact, the way that I get myself to enjoy it, Don, is to fold it. That's how I enjoy it.
I get that.
I want to curve it and have something to bite onto. So the idea that Greeny would cut it into a little piece seems so unsatisfying.
I'll eat a slice of New York pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Under 2 minutes.
Oh, it's nothing. It's barely food.
Maybe even a minute. I mean, I'm inhaling it. But if you're going to knife and fork it, that's a 10-minute thing.
Yeah, it's just not how it was meant to be.
It's just wrong. Please, go on, Peter.
We talked about it all day, but we haven't heard from them. Your newest Brooklyn Net, Ben Simmons. He was asked, was mental health the reason for the trade?
The mental health has nothing to do with just the trade. You know, it was a bunch of things that I was dealing with as a person in my personal life that I don't really want to go into depth with. But, yeah, I'm here now. So, you know, it's a blessing to be, you know, in an organization like this. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting back on the floor and building something great here.
A message to those who have questioned his mental health issues.
They should be happy I'm smiling, honestly. I've had some dark times over these last 6 months, and I'm just happy to be in this situation with this team and organization. So people are going to say what they want. They've said it the last 6 months, and I haven't commented, and it is what it is. So people are always going to have their own opinions.
And lastly, from Ben, on the Sixers players' reaction to the trade.
They were happy, you know, for me to just be in a different situation and, you know, for me to get back on the floor eventually. So now overall, I think, you know, they supported me well enough through this.
Did you speak with Joel?
No, I did not.
Bye, buddy. Have a great life.
Do the right thing. So, we'll hear. You know, we'll see. None of us know what exactly the full deal was with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. I understand why, if you're a Sixers fan or part of the organization, why you would be over it. I certainly get it. But if you're a Nets fan, I think you could reasonably hope for a different outcome here. It appears to just be something that really soured in Philadelphia. I think this could work out. Long history. You know, with Harden, you know what you're getting. Simmons, this was his first situation, and it didn't go great. But let's see.
And the Nets have a weapon that could really be used to help Simmons shoot. They have Kyle Korver on this staff. If you get this guy to be a decent shooter, not even a great shooter, he's unstoppable. How fast he is to the basket, his handle and all of that, his defensive prowess. If he could hit a medium-range jumper, he can't be stopped. Forget about him being a three-point shooter. And you've got to get him better on the foul line, too.
I was going to say.
So he's not completely terrified about, in a big game, driving to the hoop.
See, here's the thing. Getting him a consistent mid-range jumper would be bonus. But the free throw thing is a real Achilles heel, because you don't want people to play hack-a-ben. You want to be able to keep him on the floor late in games. You can't have him, if he's shooting 49% from the free throw line, that's a disaster. James Harden introduced in Philly, and he says it's always where he wanted to be.
Originally, when I was going through everything I was going through, you know, in Houston, Philly was my, you know, my first choice. It just didn't happen. So, you know, but just detailed, I don't really want to get into, you know, the Brooklyn situation. I just knew, you know, for a very long time this was a perfect fit. And obviously you got a big man, the best big man in the league in Joel. And then obviously the coaching, just from top to bottom, it made sense. And I'm just happy and blessed that I'm here. As Doc and everybody knows and everybody wants is to win and be the last team standing. So I'm excited for the opportunity.
Yeah, because the Nets don't want to be the last team standing, James.
Listen, it's his world. We're living in it.
I love
when they want, say whatever they want. We can't question it because they're bad guys.
Right. When you ask the question, you know, I really don't want to get into the net stuff. Why? Because it's inexplicable. What you did was inexplicable. You don't want to get into it because it doesn't make sense other than I dogged it on them.
Well, he was asked if Kyrie's vax status had any impact on the trade request.
Very minimal. And obviously, me and Kyrie are really good friends. You know, whatever he was going through or is still going through, that's his personal preference. But it definitely did impact the team because originally, you know, obviously me, Kyrie, and Katie on the court, you know, and winning covers up a lot of that stuff. But it was unfortunate that, you know, we played 16 games out of whatever it was, and it is what it is. But this is, you know, here in Philly is an opportunity that I'm looking forward to.
Is it wrong I want him to fail? Is it wrong? Does it make me a bad guy to do this twice in 13 months? I'm sorry, Andrew. I'm sorry, but I want him to fail. And I know Andrew. How about the pointed email that Andrew sent to all of us just excoriating Simmons?
Yeah.
So it depends on what prism you're looking through. If you're a Sixer fan, you want Simmons to fail.
And again, it's not the asking out. It happens. As you said, it happens at every sport. But to the level that Harden and Simmons did it, that is unique to the NBA.
Let's get more specific with that, actually, Don. Here's James Harden on player empowerment in the NBA.
For the most part, we can control our own destiny. Not that I'm saying it's a good thing or bad thing, but I know in my situation, for whatever reason, it was mutual and the relationship new with Josh, but obviously knowing Daryl, knowing Tad, you know, from my Houston days, knowing Doc, for me, it made sense, man. It's a time where I needed to be around guys that I know that want to win and know that are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And the structure here is unbelievable. That's the goal, man. That's the goal. Like Daryl said, the opportunity, the window is now. Joel is playing the best he's ever played. You know, so my job is to come out there and help him and help the entire team win the championship this year and years going forward.
Now, if I had to guess, guys, just reading between the lines, he does not agree with Kyrie. He's disgusted with Kyrie. Questions whether Kyrie actually wants to win or play. And I think he's disgusted that KD didn't do anything about it.
I think you're right on all of those.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't think he wants to call Kyrie out because the vaccination stuff. He doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want that stain.
But I think that's what it was. Because who didn't want to win in Brooklyn? Like what did Brooklyn do? Does Steve Nash not want to win? Does KD not want to win? Who is he talking about when he says, I want to go someplace where guys want to win? Who didn't want to win in Brooklyn? The only one that you could say, because of not getting vaccinated, I guess, if you think that way, would be Kyrie. Right?
I wonder if he feels as strongly as you are making it sound that he feels.
But what Don's saying, if I can speak for Don.
Please. Yes. You speak Don.
Who doesn't want to win? I mean, the owner of the team is like $70 million over the tax threshold.
Right.
Who doesn't want to win? They traded away their future for James Harden to make it sure that they'd win. So who's the guy who stays out all night? Who's the guy who came into camp completely overweight? So they could say the same thing about him. He has to be talking about Kyrie.
Man. Could there be any bigger difference, like a bigger gap between the way things are handled in team sports, particularly the NBA, and say like combat sports? Like combat sports, you're literally, part of your job is to talk trash about the person. Even if you like them, you end up hating them by the time the fight happens. In the NBA, even when you're now on different teams and gonna probably have to play an intense series to see who can win the East, they still will never just come out and say, yeah, I didn't like so-and-so. Never.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I love the NBA, but can we just be honest? It's so by far the softest sport. Like, they literally, NBA players are scared to step on another player's toes, literally and figuratively. This is such a far cry. I wonder how guys like Charles Oakley and Barkley and Rodman can even watch this league. They have to be best friends with everyone?
Also, forget about best friends. Name another sport that deals to the extent that the NBA does with load management. Hockey doesn't have load management, right, Don?
No.
Now, baseball's kind of obsessed with resting people every, 10 days. But it's not load management. I can't play back-to-back games when there's a history in the NBA that players did it all the time. Michael Jordan never missed a game.
It's so soft. It's crazy. I just wish someone could ever, occasionally, just say something about someone. Well, I mean, it is entertainment.
What is fascinating to me about Harden is he gets out of these situations, but yet it's still very sensitive to how he's perceived. Like, you would think somebody like him would be like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do. But he does seem to care. Like, it bothers him. He doesn't want to call out Kyrie. He doesn't want to say that the vaccination was the reason.
I don't think he wants to call out Kyrie, because if they meet in the playoffs, Kyrie will light him up. Because when Kyrie really has a cause, you're not going to stop him. He will go after James Harden and undress him publicly on national TV. He will own him. So he doesn't want to pour further fuel on the fire. You know Kyrie knows that the whole thing's about the vaccination. It is. And I don't blame James Harden for being mad about that. I don't. But don't quit on your team. Don't come into camp out of shape. Don't stay out till all hours of the night when you have a game the next night.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
See this kind of, Charles Barkley stuff, Peter?
I did. I was about to get to that.
Go.
Yeah, it's being reported that the Chuckster has said he has 2 years left on his TNT contract, and after that he'll probably retire. Quote.
Holy crap.
I don't want to die on TV. I don't want to be sitting inside over by fat ass Shaq waiting to drop dead.
On TV. I mean, he's making himself out to be like 80 years old. So how? Let me see.
What is
how
it, 62? Old he is. I'm going 62, 64.
64. Yeah. So in 2 years he's going to be 66.
Nope. And he's 58.
And he's going to drop dead. Well, maybe get yourself in the shape, Shaq, Charles, so you don't drop dead at 60.
Maybe it's just not fun for him anymore.
He has a lot of fun. No, I don't think he's putting in copious hours of prep.
No. But maybe he's like Peter. Maybe he's not happy with the direction of the league. He's tired of ripping these guys.
I want to curve it and have something to bite onto.
I will tell you this. After 2 years, he'll sign a new deal. First of all, he makes a lot of money there. They let him do whatever he wants. He's their god.
What do you think he's making right now, the old Shaq? I mean, the old Chuck.
I'd say close to $20
million. Wow.
Wow.
Pretty
think
good
money. So.
Also, you ever notice that Shaq on Inside the NBA, you can't even understand him, but on his commercials, speaks perfectly.
Well, he turns it on when he feels like it.
He should kind of feel like it on Inside the NBA. I'm just saying.
Well, they also have takes in commercials.
He mumbles on Inside the NBA.
What do you think Kenny gets? Get in his pockets.
I'd say 12, 10.
And Ernie?
Ernie should be making at least 15.
Really?
And what about the Diesel?
The guy's so rich.
What do you pay Shaq?
The guy, everything he touches is gold. You know, he bought into Papa John's. After, you know, that whole thing with the original Papa John.
Yeah.
And it was at rock bottom. They couldn't deliver pizzas enough during Super Bowl Sunday. It's the hottest, delivery service pizza in the world. Everything he touches turns to gold.
So that's what I'm saying. So what the hell do you offer him?
I think you say, listen, we'll give you a place to sleep every couple of days in Atlanta. And you can stay relevant in basketball.
I wonder if that's what just, like, really wears you down is having to travel to Atlanta.
Well, but remember, Shaq
Arizona,
lives in
Arizona, right?
I think he lives in Florida.
Yeah, so he could walk there.
I think Shaq lives.
Too bad.
I think Shaq lives in Orlando, doesn't he?
I thought he was in Arizona.
No, Arizona. You just made up.
No,
It's.
I've seen him at Coyotes games. He's always tweeting about the Coyotes. I figured if he likes the Coyotes, he must live in Arizona.
No, I know Barkley lives in Arizona.
Oh, that's what I'm sorry. That's what I thought you were talking about.
You mean the guy who played on the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah.
Well, because I thought we were talking about Barkley retiring. So.
Oh God, no, we're at the Diesel. That's okay. But either way, I hope that doesn't happen. Vikings will be introducing their new head coach Kevin O'Connell on Thursday. 36 years old, the Rams offensive coordinator who takes over.
It's amazing the young coaches, huh?
What do you figure about 20 years from now? There'll be a pregnant woman with headsets on her belly.
Ooh, very, very sick.
McVay's great grandchild. That will do it for TNN, ladies and gentlemen, on this
beautiful
Tuesday. It's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail watching the game. Actually, I'm going to do that tonight when I watch the Celtics.
Nice.
Try the Hennessy Playmaker, the triple-double, both made with Hennessy VS. Go to Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy responsibly.
You interested in the Bruins against the Rangers? Well, you stay right here. Pre-game show starts in minutes, and then Don will do the play-by-play on 98.7 ESPN. Ian O'Connor tomorrow will talk about his Coach K book. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night. Don's next.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.